Welcome to Keep Calm and Cook On. I'm your host, Julia Tertian. Each episode of Keep Calm and Cook On features a meaningful interview and answers to listeners' questions about cooking. Thank you to OXO for making this episode possible. OXO makes many of the kitchen tools that I trust the most. To find out more about OXO and their products, head over to OXO.com. That's OXO.com. My guests today are Jody Williams and Rita Sodi, two of the coolest women I know. Jody runs Buvette, a small French restaurant in New York's West Village, and Rita runs Isodi, her Tuscan restaurant that's just around the corner. Together, they also have Via Carota, conveniently situated just down the block. The New Yorker has called it New York's most perfect restaurant. They're working on a new place, Bar Pisolino, which is set to open soon. And Jody also has a Buvette in Paris and one in Tokyo, too. The New York Times has called them one of the great partnerships in the New York restaurant scene. I got to know them a few years ago when Jody hired me to help her write the Buvette cookbook. The experience was so meaningful that on the night Grace and I got married, we took over the back table at Buvette and brought 10 of our closest family and friends to celebrate. It was perfect. Late one morning last week at Via Carota, I sat down with Jody and Rita. I hope you enjoy listening to them as much as I love talking to them. Will you guys introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Jody Williams. I'm chef owner of Buvette, Via Carota, along with Rita Sodi, and soon to be Bar Pisolino, all in the West Village.
I am Rita Sodi. I'm a chef owner of Isodi and Via Carota, and of course with Jody Pisolino quite soon.
Quite soon. When are you guys opening? Do you know? Is that a terrible? That's the worst question.
No, it's a good question. You know, we're getting there. We get a feel for it. You know, we got to practice and love it, mm-hmm. and then turn it over to the public.
Yeah.
So I'm probably, you know, soon.
Soon.
Weeks, months. No, a couple. Maybe a month. Maybe a month or so. What? You know, no plan. No plan is my plan.
Yeah, no plan is not mine. Yeah. No plan
That's your bumper sticker.
No plan is my plan.
It's better don't say any.
I mean, in this case, otherwise we're highly planned out.
It will open.
It will open.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you guys? I just want to make sure I use the right words. What do you guys call each other? Do you call each other? Do you use the word wife, partner?
Oh no,
just name no. Rita
partner,
Jody.
Sprouts. No, it's Sprouts. Rita. Okay, I'm waiting. Rita. When we got married, Rita was trying to think of the word spouse, mm-hmm. and she said, "Now you're my sprout." I said, "Do you mean spouse? Because I like sprout better." So I am forever her sprout.
That's so cute. What is Rita to you?
What is Rita to me?
She doesn't call me.
No, I. I call you all kinds of things. You know, we were doing an interview and somebody said, well, how do you want to be referred to? And I'm thinking they mean chef or this. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? They're like, you know, are you gay? Are you queer? Mm-hmm. Are you this or this? And I said, oh, you can put them all. I'll take all of them.
You know, D, all of the above.
I'll take them all. They're all applicable. So okay, I'll take them all. What do you mean? How do I go by? You know, it depends how far I have to yell across the rooms. What you know. So.
Do you, Rita, identify with any of those labels? Or you're just Rita?
I'm Rita.
Yeah.
I don't like labels.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I like to use the word wife because it's sometimes it's jars people, it puzzles people, and I'm like, they need to work on that puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's sort of fun to say my wife, you know, I'm checking into the hotel. We were in London last week. I'll be traveling with my wife.
How do you feel when you say those two words?
Sometimes I feel, I like being a private person, so sometimes I feel it's a little too much information, you know. Other times I'm proud to, like, you know, march on with it. I think it's important. So, to be a role model and to put out good things in the world.
Yeah. So. I was curious about that because when we worked together on your cookbook.
Yeah.
Which was, at this point, I don't know, a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, something?
Was it 5 years ago?
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be five years ago.
Yeah, and I got to watch you guys
just be together all the time because we were, you know, working on this kind of intense schedule. And it was, when I look back on it, I mean, I knew it at the time, but when I look back, it was like, it was such a meaningful experience for me just personally, because just to watch the two of you just in your relationship, in your day-to-day life, and kind of supporting each other. And I feel like you kind of showed me, I don't think I really even totally got it, but it was like I got to see what it could look like to have another person in my life.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I mean, I really mean it. And I think it's, I was thinking about this when I was driving today, because I feel like it's not a coincidence, because after we finished the book, but before it came out, that's when I met my now wife, Grace. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like you kind of helped me be open to that. And I was wondering, sort of with that in mind, do you, like you're saying, when you check into the hotel, you use the words, my wife, like, do you intentionally try to create sort of visibility, or you're just living your life?
No. I'm quite private. So yeah. I'm not showing up and anything I don't want to, and unless they ask me or whatever, but I prefer don't.
Yeah.
You know, be just us.
Maybe. What about you, Jody?
You know, in these times, I'm proud. I'm inspired by so many people around me and the community. And yeah, I like to reveal positive things that people need to hear. So I'm okay with it being out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, life is changed a lot for the good in this context. And, you know, I don't worry that it will hurt business. I don't worry that I'll be in danger, you know, and I don't worry about these things. I just like being who I am and letting people know who I'm with and what we're doing. We don't worry about those kind of stuff. That's pretty remarkable. I don't think it's that way for everybody in the world.
Yeah, I never think that we are different. Mm-hmm. In a certain way, and I feel like everybody else.
Yeah.
So like, why don't like a name or anything? We are just us.
Yeah.
And we live our life.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's,
but I do realize there is an importance for to putting a name or label on some things, just to teach and inspire, maybe.
When you guys opened your own restaurants, Jody Bouvet and Rita, when you opened Isodi, I mean, you both opened them in the West Village. Were you considering kind of the kind of gay culture of this neighborhood at all? Like, is part of why it's not something you think about so much? Is that because you're in a neighborhood that is historically very supportive?
And you used to live on Christopher Street.
Yeah. I used to live on Christopher, walk down to you. It was really very safe space.
Yeah. I mean, we all ended up in the West Village. I mean, it's gay culture.
Yeah.
It's your neighborhood. It's a beautiful neighborhood. It's in Manhattan. I mean, there's so many across the board positive things. But, yeah, if there's a beaming light, I think it's great to be part of the history.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when I opened Isodi, it was like Christopher Street was a little bit different than it was today. It is today. I was the only place there that, you know, it was not, you know, gay or it's gay, but no restaurant, no, you know, like the restaurant and everything. So it was quite wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only place that didn't sell dildos, you mean?
Yeah. That's
you don't?
I know.
You could be making so much more money.
Yeah.
When did you open? What year?
Was it 2008?
Yeah. 2008. And
so we've been 11 years now.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Feel good.
Yeah.
It's feel very good. Yeah.
That's really cool.
You know, it's been long, short time. I don't know. It's like sometimes it seems very, very long time it took to arrive at this point, and sometimes it just flew out.
Jody, will you tell the story of how you met Rita?
How I met Rita? Everybody kept saying, everybody was saying, oh, you got to go to this place. Go to the place. And it's great Italian food. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. It took me like, 6 months to get over there. The first time I get to Isodi, I couldn't figure out how to open the sliding door. So I was sort of like fumbling with it. And then I was like, I'm so embarrassed. I just gave up and I was frustrated. So I came back.
Yeah.
I didn't even, the first attempt was failure. The second attempt, I got there at 10:30 and they told me to go away. They were closed. And I'm like, what's the matter with you? You're in New York. So I was shut down the site. So finally I got there to have dinner and I was impressed and everything resonated with me. And it's so, I worked in Italy for a long time and it just felt like home. Mm-hmm. And I recognized it and I was great. And I thought, I got to figure out who's doing this. So then I made an attempt to meet Rita Sodi.
What? How did that go?
Oh, you know, I'm not so suave. I mean, I had to make a million excuses just to get her number. Like, I need new accountants. Would you recommend somebody? Or would you recommend your linen company? And finally I got her number.
Rita, you're shaking your head. What did you think of Jody when you first met her?
Oh, I was impressed about what she was doing and everything and her and, you know, the spontaneity. And, and she was sweet, too.
Mm, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. But I was going through a little tough moment at the time. And so it was, I just opened Isodi and I was, you know, my first restaurant and I didn't know anything about restaurant and I was a little bit overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I met Jody helped me a lot.
Yeah.
I have a neighbor to talk and she knows everything. So for me, it was like, what are you doing this case?
That's on record, Jody, that you know everything, according to Rita.
Oh, that's so dangerous. Yeah.
So you guys both were running your own restaurants, and then together you opened the one we're sitting in.
Right.
Via Carota. How has working together changed your relationship, or has it?
Wow.
The beginning, when opening and just after opening, or that was quite hard, mm-hmm. because it was the first time we were working together, so we have to know each other under another light, and but you know, we are still here. We are together more than ever, and I think now we find a little way to you know, we are both stubborn and we don't want to change our mind very, very often, and but we work on it. Yeah.
Right. I said, when you were running Isodi and I was running Buvette, and we thought, okay, this is a place we want to have together. If we wanted, we spent so much time in our own restaurants working. If we wanted to see each other, we said, let's open up a restaurant together. And we, that's Via Carota, so we could spend more time working together. I mean, we don't, you know, it's a job, it's not a job, it's a calling. I mean, we love, this is coming home, mm-hmm. coming into Via Carota, going into Isodi or Buvette is always coming home to us. So it's different kind of work, but it is stressful, it is demanding, and it's highly challenging and very, very rewarding. Mm-hmm. And we're just getting started.
Yeah.
You know, when you're self-taught and Rita's self-taught and you get confident and you confidence and it grows and you're like, okay, we can do more. We're unfettered to do stuff.
Rita, what have you learned about Jody now that you run a restaurant together? Anything new?
not really. No, I think, she confirmed herself. Yeah.
Jody, have you learned anything new about Rita?
Yeah, you know, when Rita started like 10, 11 years ago, she was not a chef. Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't have any training. She didn't spend a week in somebody else's kitchen.
She just did it.
She did it. Yeah. She built a kitchen and she had her recipes and was, cooking at home and new food and new ingredients. But she was a natural. Mm-hmm. And what she could learn in a year, it would be like 5 years for somebody else. She could organize herself. She could do it. I mean, she could stand there and cook. She stands there and cooks. She expedites and does the pasta machine. So what else do I know about Rita Sodi is that she has really grown into an exceptional chef and has just flourished. And her precision, our personalities are totally different, right? And but her precision in the kitchen, for example, in the morning, she makes coffee. She pulls out a scale and she
She rolls her eyes.
Yeah, you're rolling your eyes. No, you know, because you know maybe it's too personal. But your coffee. Here's the call. I don't do anything twice ever. She makes coffee in the morning. She pulls out a scale, weighs 13 grams of sugar, and prepares her coffee. In the kitchen, she's so strong now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just she's fantastic, and so I really rely on her a lot. You know.
And no, we're relying on each other. I think, you know, working together and throw out an idea and then after come just with an idea out, it's what it is via Carota.
Yeah, you know? No, we have you know, we work together. It's not planned.
Yeah.
It's just like sort of magnets, you know, that push in this direction or that one and then come together and, you know, it's sort of, we don't think about it. You know where you need to be. I know where I need to be.
Yeah, or if you cook something, you wait for me to taste it, to confirm that it's bad or good or everything. I do the same thing for you. You know, like, if I cook something, you do something, you know, you're waiting. No, no, wait for Jody. I want her to taste before, you know, to do anything else and everything. So because we want to confirm each other.
Yeah.
Because we trust each other. So it's I trust Jody and she trusts me.
Yeah. I was about to say, it sounds like there's so much trust. Like, you can only work that way, in that kind of unspoken way, if you trust each other.
Yeah, we trust each other, and the successes of the restaurant sort of confirm that this is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, this is good, it's a good thing, and it motivates and supports that.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's, you can go off and you can do X, Y, and Z, and without me needing to be there, like, Pizzolino, like I'm handling, we gravitate to our areas of expertise. Like I'm handling right now a lot of little things that need to be, you know, and you need to describe this more to the floor, this one over here. But then if it has to do with like a texture or a color or a paint thing, like Rita, get in here and let's, you know, tell it, what do you see? What do you want?
Yeah.
So we build something and we might not always be involved, but we step back together and we look back and whether it's a plate of food or it's a cabinet, we'll say, how does this make us feel?
Yeah.
And that's our guiding light for design and cooking. How does it make us feel?
Yeah. I mean, I think we find a way that really we can work together. And not always we are together to do the same thing. Actually, we don't do the same thing. You know, everybody does a little bit of as their own
area. Well, we're too busy to be doing the same. I mean, there's so much demand. Mm-hmm. There's four restaurants. We're a very small hands-on crew here.
Yeah.
You know, we work with four other, you know, I don't even want to call them managers because there's so much more. We work with four people who help us run these places.
Yeah.
Come on. 18 hours a day. Yeah. So we can't be always, you know, in the same seat. But
so speaking of that, because so much about what you guys do is not just the amazing food and, you know, the amazing, amazing attention to detail in the space. It's so much about the people who also work with you to create these spaces and experiences. And I wanted to talk a little bit about your kind of leadership style, especially we were talking before we kind of turned the recorder on about this kind of new time we're living in and the Me Too kind of revelations and movement and how that applies to restaurants. You know, you guys were featured in it was a T Magazine piece about female couples who run restaurants and, you know, what it can look like under your leadership. And I'm wondering, what do you try to instill in your staff?
Well,
for my point, culture, you know, teach people and tell where it's coming from and make understand it's not just, you know, a glass of water or, you know, a salad or whatever you think, but it's coming from something and, you know, teaching the what they're tasting, what they're tasting, you know, like you know, I'm from Tuscany, so I'm very proud of olive oil and everything. So I'm trying to tell people why it's so special and everything. It's, you know, all the culture for me, it's very important because it makes you understand what you're eating. I cook culture, you know, so it's, for me, it's like life, So that's my what I want to teach, especially the cook in the kitchen and you know, and the server. Then I have to explain the food.
So you want to sort of pass on this meaning?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Jody?
Well, you know, the staff and the guests, the human element to this business is really one of my favorite and most surprising parts. That I think I'm really fortunate that I get to make a lot of relationships with people who have jobs here and then they go off in life. And so I want to find how I can be supportive for each individual. You know, you're coming here and you're going to be here for this, you know, 8 hours or 10 hours, and you take something away, and what, just understanding who they are and maybe what they need in life and being part of that, and setting an example, you know, and being mindful that I need to always set an example. I'm certainly not perfect. But it's a long road, and I remember my first jobs and people I interacted with and the impression they left on me. And if I can do better and leave a good impression and help somebody through, I mean, so many different people, so many different angles or needs, or it's, if I can be part of that, it's very enriching.
Yeah.
You know, if I can be supportive, you know, we're all human.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you got to have a job. Well, you got a job with me, so let's, you know. Make the best.
Make the best.
Yeah, and then the relationships are really surprising and rewarding.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of people working here. I mean, they're, you know, jazz singers, or they're, you know, studying library sciences. I mean, it's so varied. Or, you know, they're raising families. And it's part of the greater world. So we have a big responsibility to, you know, send people out into that.
Yeah. Do you feel that too, Rita, that kind of sense of responsibility?
Yeah, no, I'm very, you know, I take the all our people very, very seriously. And I'm trying to tell and teach them everything I know. So, and open, you know, I'm open to, you know, to anything, you know, like I always tell them, if you're a dream, don't stop. Doesn't cost money to dream. So please go and have your dream. And you know, sometimes they leave because the dream is coming true, and I'm happy for them. You know, also if I'm very sad to see them out, but and I'm proud of what we did because we make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, so that's
cool.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of your own career in starting the restaurant, because as Jody said, you had never worked in a restaurant before.
No.
And you just opened yours, and so I'm sure that was a dream at some point before it became a reality. So how did you know that was possible? Like, what made you believe that you could do that?
I don't know. I really don't know what I was thinking at that time. You know, I was like, I don't know. I just was like, I need to do this. I want to do this. And I did it. So talking about stubborn, you know.
Stubborn.
Yeah.
Sometimes ignorance bliss, right?
You
know what you're getting into. You know?
I think that's so true.
Grab go with it. It can be such a catalyst, a good thing. I mean, you know, tongue-in-cheek is saying that, you know, ignorance is bliss. But for sure, when you're, you know, when you have nothing, you know, I remember when I started, I had nothing to lose. What was it going to do? Be someone's chef, you know, or try to find a way to realize something bigger.
That's a motivator.
You know,
when you just, Rita, you describe both of you as being stubborn. So what do you guys do when you have really opposing feelings about something, whether it's a dish or, you know, what art you're hanging up in the restaurant or whatever it is, you know, or something bigger?
Like, I think you step out and you see, at that point you see what you have to see in different way. No, like, it's your personal, but what is the best? And you go for that.
Yeah.
So beside that, I made it, or Jody did it, and everything, it's always like, let's go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if we come to, we can't agree on something, and believe me, and it needs to happen. I mean, you know, the making a decision in a business or opening a business, you have to make decisions and get it open. Okay? So you don't have a lot of time. So there's always that pressure. but we'll table something. Like we can't, like we're working on lights. So we'll research and table something, and I'll find lights and Rita said, I don't know. Well, that's too small. This, well, no, you won't see it. So we'll table it and let it rest, but continue. I'll continue to do more research and more research to find something she likes. And or come up with nothing and say, this is it. These are the options. So it's a process, and it's a hard process sometimes, but it makes us work harder on getting the answer right.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's not a lot of bullying. Well, and then, you know, we'll say, okay, so what else? What are the options?
Yeah.
So there's an analytic process to it. Like, well, that's not available. Well, that can't work, you know, and that's too big. And so you have to have some patience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes wear each other down.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Or you don't like anything in what I do.
Right. Right. No, we don't. No, we're really, really careful not to personalize things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, but, you know, it's there's a million details.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it. And we work with artisans. We work with other people. And, you know. You got to take a chance. And then and at the end of the day, I mean, even the room we're sitting in, it's not finished. It's never finished, you know, for us.
Yeah.
You know, we're shooting for 100%. And in our mind's eye, our collective mind's eye, this is what we want. And maybe we got to 70 and, well, it's time to go, you know. So we just keep rolling on.
Every time you walk into this restaurant or your own restaurants, are you just kind of constantly thinking about that to-do list? Like, are you always seeing the thing that's missing from the room, or?
Yeah, you try to see what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not looking just whether you like or no, but is that really work? Mm-hmm. Is it right? You know, just.
Yeah.
Don't be relaxed too much and then, oh my God, how beautiful and everything. Oh my God. No, at that point, you know, it's every day put yourself in the position that, that's not perfect, so let's try to be better.
And functionality is important.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always hope, like, maybe we can get 100 people to come to lunch and dinner, and then and then you exceed that, and then you have to deal with that. You know, so you were trying to rise to the challenge, and we're inspired, but, you know, different things. And how does it feel when we eat lunch in here today? What can we do better?
Yeah.
You know, I'm tired of this. I'm doing this. Well, here's an idea. It's fun. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's just our big toy to play with.
Yeah.
And we're careful not to, you know, overdo it.
Yeah.
Let it be what it, you know, it's got a life of its own at some point.
When has there been a time, I hope there have been many times, but when you've gone into Via Croce or Isotti or Bouvet and it feels right? What does that feel like to you? Can you describe that?
It feel quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feel good. It feel proud.
What does it look like when it feels right? Is there a certain, like, energy or quality of the food? Or?
It makes you want to do more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of, you know, sometimes we sit down and we start to eat and everything, and we look at each other and we say, oh, my God, this is so good. And we surprise ourselves eating our food and say, oh, my God, it's so good. You know, it happens sometimes also.
Yeah.
There's what's wrong with this food? What they're doing today? So, but anyway, we are very, very well surprised when we taste something and we like what it is, what the taste and everything. So it's put like, we want this. We want to do more of this, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some meals this year at Isotti. I mean, your lemon pappardelle. I mean, I've had some things. I'm like, oh, my God. You mean that, you know, it's it. I mean, when I say it's it, I'm talking about we want to make a place that we miss. We have an idea of some kind of nostalgia or some kind of feeling that we miss. Our favorite places in Florence, our favorite places, you know, in Paris or wherever we're at. We're missing these kind of experiences here in New York. And when we get it right, and I'm eating at the bar at Isotti, or I walk into an early morning at Bouvet and I see the place laid out and I see the oranges being squeezed and the special machine, and I know, I feel like I'm someplace that I've always longed to be, that in my travels I've picked up and kept with me. And
the energy,
Via Carota, you know, your home in in the old Via Carota in Bagno Ripoli. When we're here at this table right now, I could live here.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels good.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for, that experience. We hope to do that at Bar Pizzolino. Yeah. It's that stand up, drink your coffee kind of thing in the neighborhood where maybe you leave your keys for somebody to pick up with the barista, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
It's just a handful, not a big to go, you know what I mean? It's a lot of things in New York. The busyness of New York can corrupt things. So I think we're trying to navigate experiences.
So you work in a place like Pizzolino where, you know, you meet somebody, then you know and say hi and everything, happy to work for a few, you know, it's like fast and everything, but it's like you work in some place you know, where you know people, mm-hmm. you know what you know what there is there. It's not like, you know, like be in line, do this and take it to go and leave. No, it's you have a little experience and you go, it makes your day. Sometimes it makes a day, you know, it's like how many times I work I work in the bar in Florence and I find a friend and it was like 5 years I don't see, and you know, both busy and we have to go where we have to go, but we share a few things and they say, yeah, okay, and you know, and make your day, you mm-hmm. know, it's that's what the Pizzolino has to be, you know, some place where you go to have your best coffee and be home.
Yeah. So beautifully said. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and there's something, and there has to be the delicious.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
You know, when you eat something delicious and you remember it, and then you're two blocks away from it, you go, I know there's something delicious down that block, and you try to get your friends, let's go this way.
Yeah.
So you can
let's
go
turn
by
on this corner.
Turn on this corner. There's something really good there. I mean, that's how I think of my whole day is plotting. There's something really good around.
Yeah, no, but what do? You go and you want a coffee. Oh, let's go there. The coffee is very good. You know, mm-hmm. you do this stuff. You know, not in New York because there is no such, you know, too much stuff in that way unless you go. But I don't want to say always our place. You know, I'm like, well, why are you doing that face?
I'm rolling. No, I'm just like massaging my temples.
I just want to tell you, I think you guys really do what you set out to do, and you do it really well. And like, I know when I lived down this street and got to be, you know, part of this neighborhood and community, so much of that, it can be hard to feel part of a community in New York City. And I felt it because I was going to your restaurants and, you know, it made it feel like a neighborhood. And now, even that I don't live here, to come back here feels like that feeling you described, Jody, it feels like coming home. So mm-hmm. I think you guys work really hard, and I think the goals you set out, I really feel like you achieved them. So I just want to tell you
that. I hope so. We work through that all every day. Yeah. So I hope we will get better and better.
Yeah.
In what we're doing and what we can offer and, you know.
Yeah.
And give something.
What is the thing Jody cooks that you, Rita, love the most?
Everything in that it's... you know, I'm a very, very Tuscan. I for me that is like a religion. It's like you know, my base and everything. So every time she come up with something that it's more, you know, out of there. But you know, at the same time now she's a little bit Tuscan too. So at the same, no, it's true, Jody.
By marriage.
Yeah, by marriage. Yeah, that's true.
So, and she does these plates that then have a little bit more than two ingredients, like a little bit more spice and everything. I love it. I love, you know, the creativity and how
Come on, you got to name one dish. One dish you like that I make.
First thing that jumps to your mind.
Okay. I don't know because I don't have something that particular. I'm very moody in my uh-huh. way I eat. So every day I like something different. And so there is a lot of stuff that I can say that I love.
No, it's okay.
Like,
you didn't come up with one ingredient. I'll talk to you later.
How about what was the thing Jody cooked most recently that you just so enjoyed? Made you feel good?
She did a Thanksgiving.
Ah.
Well, yeah, by default, I have to do Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because
and this year I had like
American.
2.5 hours to make a Thanksgiving. Yeah. But now you
know, every time I sit down and she cooks for me, I feel, you know, like I'm lucky.
Yeah.
To be there and eat her food and then the way she put together and she take attention to everything, the plate where she put it and everything. It's just for us, but she does in the way it's for 100 people. Mm-hmm. You know, like everything has to be perfect. Don't do that. No time yet. You know, like everything has to be at the right time and everything. So it's, you know, I feel lucky.
What was on your Thanksgiving menu?
Oh, you know, I do my mother's classic turkey with, you know, stuffing and mashed potatoes. And,
you do cranberry sauce in a can?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I like awesome. The crab, you know, because I need it for the sandwich, to tell you the truth.
Exactly.
This year I made Thanksgiving dinner as quickly as I could so I can have sandwiches for 2 days. And with so much mayo, it's squirting out the sides. And I saw a Tuscan eating my turkey sandwiches
and totally
digging it.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy. You know, that's one of the things that, you know.
I live with a picky eater. I mean, she has great taste, but picky eater here.
What dish that Rita makes is the one you most love?
Oh, okay. Rita cooks steaks in the fireplace.
Mm.
I mean, and
where's the fireplace?
In our home.
In your home.
In our home. So, like, we celebrated New Year's Eve in front of the fireplace, and we just sort of do a picnic. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, bowls of apricots and almonds, and there's, you know, cheeses and salamis, you know, like, tons of stuff.
Sounds
and
great.
Crackers and, you know, relishes and pickles. So tons of stuff and champagne. And it's in that fireplace. Her go-to is a steak cooked in there.
Yeah.
It's great.
Or chestnut.
Mm. Oh, yeah, we do chestnuts.
You do it, like, on a grate? You do it in the coals? You do
on
the grate.
Yeah.
Do you stay up until midnight? Do you make it?
You know, okay, so it was in the middle. I woke up in the middle of the countdown. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh. And I just dozed off. I was up. It was just like we dozed off. And I'm like, oh, my God. We made it. Yeah.
But we made it.
You made it.
Yeah. Just in time.
I mean, usually we're in the restaurants.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're... Yeah, you know, filling glasses and getting everybody to, you know,
that's,
cheers.
I was going to say, I'm so glad you guys were just at home. That's nice.
We just
the two of you?
Just the two of us.
Yeah.
Threw in the towel.
Yeah.
Tried to stay up.
There you go. What more could you want? Can I ask you one last question for each of you? When you were a kid, what was your favorite thing to eat? Like when you were growing up?
Oh, I love to do, I always love a picnic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, I was by myself and taking the blanket, and I was going in front of the house, put down my blanket, and take out my little butter and jam sandwich.
And so you would make your sandwich at home before?
No, my mother was.
Your mother would make it, and you'd take
it
outside.
I was taking and put in the basket, take my blanket, go in front of the house, sit on the grass, and eat my sandwich by myself in a picnic. Or growing up, elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
That's really one of the best things. My mother used to make the omelette frittata.
Uh-huh.
And she was putting the steel co-hot. She would put in the middle of two bread slices and wrapped it. So when I opened, everything was... You know, like oily and everything, but so good. Also, but that's one of,
yeah.
I can taste it. Now when I'm talking it, I can taste it. Yeah, that's so one. Yeah.
Sandwiches are
a
big theme for you.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, because, you know, there was the only things that we didn't have, you know, we didn't have any too much, you know, any kind of different sweet or something like that. So sandwich was very...
In fact, you didn't go to a restaurant until late in your life.
Oh,
because
no.
Well, you guys ate at home and your mother did all the cooking and, you know.
I think in all my life I had pasta in a restaurant in Italy for... Also here, I eat pasta just in our place a few times.
Yeah.
In all my life.
Always at home.
Always at home. Yeah. I never have a pasta. I say, why I have to take pasta? My mother would be much better. Why I had to take pasta? I take something that she doesn't make.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It makes sense. Jody, what about you? Your favorite food growing up?
Favorite food, food growing up? Well, let's see. It was a little stark, tell you the truth, and it, you know. Let's see. I would say, growing up in California, my mother would make a fruit salad that was so beautiful and had like 20 fruits in it. And, oh, it was, that was something I loved. And
yeah.
Probably the biggest thing on the 4th of July table, but watermelon and cherries and grapes and cantaloupe and cassava and peaches and nectarines and everything.
Yeah.
It was magnificent.
Yeah. I remember, I think, did we write about it in the book?
Yeah.
I feel like we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So growing up, that was a great thing. Otherwise, I had a lot of awful meals, to tell you the truth. School lunches were horrific, and but there were always like cases of pears from farms, or you know, cases of pepper. You see peppers like apples, and the old farmers market in south of San Francisco, you know, dates or nectarines, and so there's a lot of beautiful things. But you know, my mom worked and won two jobs, so wasn't a lot of fine meals for.
Well, I think if you brought your fruit salad to Rita's picnic,
we'll share my sandwich.
Do you ever, you'd share your sandwich?
Sandwich, and we share the,
very kind. Exactly.
Oh, that's sweet. Salad.
So you can spend the rest of your life doing that. Do you ever think that, I think that with Grace sometimes, I wish like we knew each other when we were little kids. Don't you wish you could have been friends?
We'd either be friends or enemies. You know what I mean? Rita, as her childhood fascinates me. I mean, she had a motocross bike, and she went all over Europe on a motocross bike with a bunch of guys.
At what age?
I started like when I was 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've always been cool.
She probably wouldn't have hung around me.
Amazing.
And that's, you know.
My mother used to call me Maschiaccio.
What does that mean?
I'm like tomboy.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, look at you now.
But we didn't know, you know, in Italy, we didn't know that, you know, especially in the village, small village, you know, outside of Florence.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know that.
Yeah. But now you're in the West Village.
Now we know it.
Now we know.
Now we know that very well.
Maybe that's your new nickname, Maschiaccio.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's cool. Thank you guys so much. You're the best.
Thank you, Julia. You're the best.
Thank you.
Thank
you so much.
We're all the best. Thank you.
Before we get to our listeners' questions, a quick word about OXO, who helped make this episode possible. Why do I have so many OXO tools in my kitchen? Because I trust them. They help make my work as a cookbook author dependable and accurate, and they help make my time as a home cook more relaxed. I appreciate OXO's commitment to make every day better, every day. They approach their tools just like I approach my recipes. They notice things and solve problems and see opportunities to improve the process all of the time. Like their pop containers that are stackable and space efficient. You can see exactly what's inside, you can trust that the seal is airtight, and the corners are designed for easy pouring. They're leftovers' best friend. Thanks, OXO, for supporting Keep Calm and Cook On. Want to check out OXO's products? Just head over to OXO.com. That's OXO.com. And now for some listeners' questions. If you have a question for me, just send me a DM on Instagram at Turshen, T-U-R-S-H-E-N, both my handle and my last name, or drop an email to keepcalmandcookonpodcast@gmail.com. One word, no punctuation. And back in the question asker seat, I've got Grace here today. So take it away, Grace.
Okay, JT, question number one comes from r_petise, who would like to know, what do you make when you are so tired and want to do anything but cook?
So I usually ask you, Grace, to cook dinner when I'm feeling that way. And if you are not home, I most of the time end up making scrambled eggs and toast, which I could happily eat for every single meal.
Question number two comes from Bikes Bikes Baby, who would like to know, can you come to London for a book tour?
I would love to. That would be great. You want to come with me?
Done. I'm there. Question number three comes from Animal_Planet, a.k.a. Anne. Anne would like to know, what are the top five fridge essentials that you can't live without and always have on hand?
So we literally can't live without your insulin, which we keep in the fridge. So that's number one. The other four, I would say, are half and half for coffee. That is always in our fridge. We always have eggs. We always have hot sauce. And what else? We always have cheese. Normally we eat all of those things together.
So you're saying we're the most healthy household ever.
Sure.
Question number four comes from E. Ashton Roth, who would like to know, do you have any ideas for using up leftover anchovies, like if you've only used half of a can?
So the best thing for leftover anchovies, or just, you know, regular anchovies, is Caesar salad dressing. Absolutely the best thing you can do with them. My favorite recipe for Caesar salad dressing is in my first cookbook, Small Victories. I even called it Julius Caesar. And actually in my last cookbook, Now and Again, I did this recipe for garlic and anchovy butter toast. And that's a great way to use up leftover anchovies, because all you do is mash some minced anchovies and a garlic clove into like half a stick of butter, add some chopped parsley, a little bit of salt, and you spread that on toast. And it's so delicious. It tastes like Caesar salad, but kind of in the form of toast. And it's great with like a cocktail, like a little snack before a meal. You can cut it up into little pieces and use it as croutons on your Caesar salad for like a double anchovy effect. So yeah, those are a couple of ideas.
Your last question today comes from Kevin, who sent in the email about marinades. Kevin says, I love marinades that I can make in advance, especially for chicken and pork, and then cook quickly for weeknight dinners, because Kevin and his husband are working parents. Are there any winter marinades that you can recommend?
So to me, winter flavors are kind of warm and comforting. So one idea that comes to mind is a mixture of pretty much equal parts maple syrup, apple cider vinegar, and olive oil. Whisk those together with some mustard to kind of bind them, and put a ton of fresh minced sage. That would be delicious on chicken or pork. Another idea, let's see, some fresh ginger, mince that, add some toasted and ground coriander, and then get the zest off of a fresh orange and mix the zest and orange juice into that ginger and coriander mixture, a little olive oil and salt, also great on chicken or pork. And if you don't have time to marinate ahead, one idea is just to, you know, season your chicken or pork or whatever you're cooking, just really simply, just salt, maybe some pepper, and then just cook them really, you know, quickly, just roast or grill, whatever. And then after you're done cooking them, use your marinade mixture kind of as a sauce. And I actually prefer a lot of protein this way, because you get all those really fresh flavors. So that's an idea if you're not thinking too much ahead. So I think that's all we have time for today. Thanks so much, Grace.
Anytime.
And hopefully we'll get her back next time. If you have a question for me, just send me a DM on Instagram at Tertian, or drop an email to keepcalmandcookonpodcast@gmail.com. I love answering your questions. Thanks for listening to Keep Calm and Cook On. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, and rate and review the show. It really makes a difference to help others find it. Also, tell a friend or a family member. Text your mom or your cousin or your old roommate. Let them know. Also, if you have a cooking question that you'd like to hear me answer, just drop an email to keepcalmandcookonpodcast@gmail.com. One word, no punctuation. That's keepcalmandcookonpodcast@gmail.com. For more information about me and the show, head over to juliatertian.com. Everything about my work is there, and if you click on Keep Calm and Cook On, you'll find everything about the show. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Tertian, which is just my last name. Thanks again to OXO for making this episode possible. OXO makes many of the kitchen tools I trust the most. To find out more about OXO and their products, head over to OXO.com. That's OXO.com. And before I really say goodbye, a quick shout out to God's Love We Deliver, an organization that I feel is using food to move us all forward in a positive direction. God's Love We Deliver cooks and delivers meals to clients who are living with severe illness in the New York City metropolitan area.
They go by the motto that food is medicine, food is love. They're based in downtown Manhattan, not far from Jody and Rita's restaurants, and I used to actually volunteer there regularly before Grace and I moved out of the city. Every year, God's Love We Deliver prepares nearly 2 million meals with the help of nearly 13,000 volunteers. To find out more about them, head over to glwd.org, and you can also buy their famous cookies and brownies through their site. They make great gifts, and it's a great way to benefit the organization. Thanks again for listening to Keep Calm and Cook On. I'll catch you next time.